It's important when we talk about such a big issue facing our city and many regional parts of Queensland, and that is youth crime. It's important when we talk about this issue that we actually go a little bit beyond the anger that many people feel, go a little bit beyond the headlines that you read every other day in the media, and actually dig a little bit deeper. Because if we're ever going to address this issue, which has been around, it seems, forever, if we're ever going to tackle it properly, we just need to dig a little bit deeper, and we need to get to some of the root causes of why kids, very, very young kids in many cases, are committing a whole range of crimes. Someone I was very keen to talk to do just that, is the Honourable Stan Jones AO. Now, Stan, as many listeners would know, is a retired Supreme Court judge. He is a former Chancellor of CQ University, among many other positions and honours. But the reason to have a conversation with Stan today is he's a committee member of, a relatively new community group. It's called Cairns South Together. And they're doing a lot of really interesting, really important work to the south of Cairns, and not just around kids, but also families as well. Stan Jones, welcome to the King Review.
Thank you, Gavin. It's my pleasure to be here.
Now, you retired from the court about 10 years ago, and Dan, you've done a lot of reading, a lot of work, getting to understand brain development, particularly now our young people. Talk to us a little bit about the importance of a child's first 1,000 days, those first 3 years, and why they are so critical to the trajectory that a person will take throughout their life.
Yes, Gavin, when I was on the bench, I used to muse quite often as to why some children found themselves in a pathway to crime. But later, I was inspired by talks given by a Professor Frank Oberclade, a world-renowned paediatrician who was the head of the Murdoch Children's Research Institute attached to the Royal Melbourne Children's Hospital. And Professor Oberclade opened up the world to me of the research that has gone on about the early years of child development and the studies that have been undertaken, and what the experts know about this development in a child. They've had this knowledge for 30, 40 years. But what is sad is that the general public do not understand the importance of it. And I would like to do my best to correct that.
And we were saying off air that we seem to know more about outer space than we do about the human brain, which is very, very true. Fascinated to learn that those first 3 years are just so critical. And what happens to a child in those first 1,000 or so days can actually influence the rest of their life. We talked a little bit about off air about the different stress that a child in those first 3 years can encounter. And if they're in a household where, the parents are, there's domestic violence or there's drug abuse or they live in extreme poverty, a whole range of factors, that actually sets them on a path that is very, very difficult for them to avoid. Just talk a little bit about those first 3 years.
Yes. Well, the first thing, of course, is what's going on in the child's brain, which is developing before birth, so that when a child is born, part of the brain is even fully developed. That's the brain that deals with survival. When the child's hungry, it'll squawk, all of that sort of thing. Other parts of the brain are partially developed, and some of it will continue to develop for 8 years. That's mainly deals with the emotions. But the main part of the brain develops over the next 27, 28 years. It's extraordinary. So when I look at a young child, a one-year-old baby or two-year-old baby, I treat it as a thing of wonder, because what's going on inside that child's head is a great deal more activity than is going in the mind of an adult. The brain is developing very quickly in those first 3 years. And that development is setting up the brain's architecture, the pathways, the connections, that are going to determine whether that child is bright or calm, and that is important. So that's what sets the path for future life. Mm. And there are activities in the environment in which the child is being raised which alters and sometimes suppresses that development of the architecture.
Mm. And so a 13-year-old who steals a car in Cairns this weekend, in almost every case, we could look back at their first 3 years of life and really go, well, that is the path that they were on. I mean, that's extraordinary.
It may be. I mean, the difficulty is, of course, you can't look at the 13-year-old's brain. Mm. But what the research has shown is that if there is deprivation in those first 3 years, that child will be on a pathway which is usually typified by poor learning, by disruptive behaviour in school, by emotional lability. Mm. And these, so if you look at the 13-year-old and look at the career and say, well, how did the child fare at school? Mm. Were there problems there? Mm. And if it is, that can be often traced back to those early years. And we're not going to start blaming 1, 2, and 3-year-old children for subsequent behaviour, but that's where it starts.
That's where it starts. And you can understand victims of crime and the general community being angry and upset. You know, the courts aren't tough enough, the government's not tough enough on, you know, an 11-year-old that steals a car or assaults someone. But the reality is that what can we do with a young teenager that is already on this path for the last 10, 12, 13 years? Mm. I mean, when they get to that point, what's your view, Stan Jones, on what can we do with those kids? And more importantly, I guess, what should we be doing?
Well, the first thing we can do is inform ourselves and understand. Mm. And when you start talking about the teenage brain, just remember I said that brain is developing over 27 years. Mm. So when you're talking to a teenager, you're not talking to an adult brain with a few less miles on it.
You're
talking to something quite different. The teenage brain is quite different.
And that's under the best of circumstances.
Absolutely. That's every teenager. I imagine some of your listeners will have teenagers and they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So rational argument often doesn't work. And having had teenagers myself, I know. And you're talking about anger, being a victim of crime. Well, my house has been burgled on two occasions and cars stolen, and I know the anger. Mm. But fortunately, if you have the understanding of the development of the brain and what causes it, what causes the deficits, which we should talk about, then you understand. Now, the great enemy of the developing architecture in the brain is having the child in an environment of stress. Mm. Some stress is good for the development of the brain. A baby touches a hot surface, the baby will learn that this hurts and won't do it again. Some stress, if it's prolonged and constant, then that interferes with the development of the architecture of the brain. And I should mention some of these include extreme poverty, physical or emotional abuse, chronic neglect, severe maternal depression, substance abuse, family violence. So just looking at that list, some you can see it can occur in the family homes with no fault on anyone's part. Extreme poverty oftentimes, maternal depression. Mm. But so long as people are aware that these conditions in the home or in the parents are affecting that very young child's development. And so if we can develop calm homes, we'll have much better children. And this is important in the present age because we hear the results of domestic violence, which is, I think, in my assessment, much more prevalent now than it was when I was there. Young boy many years ago.
Or is it just being reported and known about more?
Could be that. Mm. But either way, let's get rid of it. Mm. Because it's not only affecting the relationship of the two people who engaged. It's affecting the innocent child.
I mean, and there's research now around if a 2-year-old is in another room and the mother and father are at a violent altercation, that is affecting that 2-year-old, whether you think it is or not, it is.
Absolutely. And the parents might be unaware, but their conduct is affecting it. And it's not, you know, just having a peaceful home is so critical for the mental development of the child. But the consequences of having altered brain architecture, it's not only relates to crime, it relates to the person's own health, the baby's future health. And there's plenty of research that shows that a baby subjected to that environment often ends up with cardiovascular disease, obesity, organ diseases of other kinds, depression.
A whole range of poor outcomes.
Indeed. So we talk about the relationship of teenagers and crime. What can we do about that? But there's a much bigger question of what can we do about the ill health of people in their 40s and 50s, which, again, is related to those early childhood years.
It's incredible to think, isn't it? Those first 1,000 days.
And it's enormous public expense.
Yes, you know? Well, that's the other point as well. What can we do then? There's no point locking kids up at 11 or 12 or 13 because it's not going to fix the problem. And so what would you like to see happen? What needs to happen? Where does the government investment need to be so that we can actually, over the long term, reduce this problem of youth crime?
Firstly, we have to stop blaming the child whose behaviour, and you have to change the behaviour. For the protection of society, you have to change. So that requires a lot of close personal contact with the child and the parents. So we need a lot more psychologists to experienced in corrective behaviour, a lot more social workers perhaps. We need to engage with the parents, and we need cultural experts. If some of the offenders are Indigenous, then they need to take pride in their heritage. Punishment, there has to be some level of punishment of a sort, which it essentially is marking the behaviour as wrongful behaviour. So you've got to mark that, but then you've got to change the attitude of the child.
And so can we rehabilitate a 13-year-old that's in Cleveland Youth Detention Centre?
I'm sure we have. I'm sure that does happen. But it requires a lot of effort. It requires family support. That may not come from the parents, it might come from other members of the family. It will require respect from the people who are caring for them, and it requires great skill on the part of the correctional officers and the other workers in the community who are there to help.
But given the rates of recidivism, those repeat offenders, clearly that's not happening to the degree that it should.
Yes, I'm not sure of the rate of recidivism. It's not every child who offends once.
It's very high. Police say that there is a core group of offenders, and they know that time after time again, they'll be caught by police, they'll front the courts, they'll be in and out of Cleveland.
Yes.
So to my mind, we're just not doing enough in that rehabilitation.
Yes.
And we surely aren't doing enough, to put it mildly, we're surely not doing enough in those first 3 years, as you've just explained.
Yes, that's right. Well, we are not doing enough, and that's clear. We need more help. The officers in youth justice and child safety, they do a wonderful job. It's a very, very difficult job.
Very difficult.
And they don't necessarily have the right level of support from the community or even indeed from government. So let's not be critical of them. They need...
Absolutely. This is not about those frontline workers. Absolutely.
As to the dealing with the 3-year-olds, that's a matter of knowledge. I mean, I didn't know about this when I was... until about 20 years ago when I... And I talk to various groups now. I talk particularly to a men's group. And when I speak in the way I have about what changes the brain architecture, you can see a light
dawn
in these people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so when you talk about 3 years, lack of knowledge is a problem.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let's all of us find out about this.
Yeah. I'm speaking here with Stan Jones AO, the Honourable Stan Jones AO, retired Supreme Court judge, to talk to you now about your role with Cairns South Together, it's called. Curtis Pitt, the Mulgrave MP, is the chair of that committee. Councillor Kathy Zeiger is involved. There's school principals, a whole range of business people involved with this group. Tell us a little bit about the work that group does.
The corporation, which it is in formation at the moment. Mm. But we have people who are members, and they come from a wide variety of service organisations in the health, welfare, cultural fields, and childcare fields. And there's a wonderful variety of people. And so the work of Cairns South Together works through clusters. We have 10 clusters, dealing with early childhood, with health issues, unemployment issues, education, mm-hmm. and even people in business who are having some difficulty mm-hmm. can come to our business cluster, and the group will, who are well connected mm-hmm. and talented, will do their best to help them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's a...
It's a whole of community.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and very, very grassroots. And Mission Australia, I understand, are a key partner.
That's right. They're our background organisation. Ultimately, as a company, we'll be financially standing on our own feet. But at the moment, they've committed for the next 10 years
Great.
To finance us okay. as a community of focus, it's called. There's only a few of them in Australia, mm. and we were the first for them to take on. So we're providing a bit of a wayfinding for Mission Australia as well, but they've been very generous in their financial support.
Well, it's a big job. It's an important long-term job, so it's really fantastic to hear. People, I guess, could contact the office of Curtis Peard or Councillor Kathy Zeiger to find out more about Cairns South Together.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And we're based at Hambledon House
Great.
At okay. Edmonton. So
yeah, fantastic.
Even if people turn up at Hambledon House, they'll be looked after.
There you go. Cairns South Together. Stan Jones, thanks for your time on the King Review today.
Thank you very much, Gavin. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.